Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, it's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. We're doing things. It's now been a year of doing the Zoom thing, so you think I'd get used to it. But, you know, I'm just as awkward as ever. I would normally have these guys in studio. Actually, I've had them in studio. A couple members of this band, Dust Moth, have a new album called Rising Sailing. It's out now on 1,000 Arms. Incredible band. I fell in love with this band about 4 years ago, I think, with their album before this. 3 or 4 years ago? Could be wrong. But this album blew me away all weekend long. Love it. Can't get enough of it. Pre-orders are available now. But before I get into all of that, welcome back to Loud and Local, y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's go around the room, reintroduce yourself, and tell us what you do for Dust Moth.
Jim Acapella, drummer.
Steve.
I'm Steve. I play bass.
Ryan. I play guitar and sing.
So, yeah, welcome back to the show, and new album is available now. Was there any talk about waiting to release the album until after the pandemic, or did you guys want to just get it out there? What was that decision like?
I don't know if we talked about it. We just wanted to get it out kind of as soon as possible. 4 or 5 years.
It's been recorded for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Almost two, May, it'll be 2 years, June, something like that. So I mean, it's get to the point where it doesn't feel new.
Mm-hmm.
you don't want it to sit around for too much longer.
Well, I certainly couldn't tell that it's not like it sounds dated or anything like that. It's awesome album. So if you don't mind me asking, why was it kind of recorded 2 years ago? What was the, delay in releasing it?
Do
we want to tell the truth here?
Yeah, we can tell the truth.
Quick question. Is there profanity about it?
Yeah, this is pre-recorded, so it's not live. Don't worry about it.
So, there was a few years ago we went on tour with some label mates of ours, this band called Mustard Gas and Roses.
Yeah.
And so when we got to Atlanta, which was where our previous label was from,
mm-hmm.
That was the first time we had met them coming to that show, and they showed up super late, and they had a lot of internal struggle going on between the two of them. There's only two of them that ran and operated it.
Okay.
So they had a lot of personal conflict going on, and basically at the time we didn't know it, but that was basically the end of their relationship as a couple and as a label.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So after that, when we tried to get a hold of them, it was just crickets. And then Irene spoke with one of the owners, and she's a little bit out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that did not go so well.
Fair enough.
But we had already been writing for quite a while at that point, so we were ready to record. So when we got back, we started thinking about what we wanted to do, and we needed to find a home for it.
Yeah.
So we decided to just fund it ourselves and then go in and record it. And then we were going to start shopping it around.
Yeah.
And we landed with A Thousand Arms, which is kind of weird. There's a lot of, like, it's how small a world it is. A guy in my old band worked with them. He's a recording engineer. So he worked with their band. And so he kind of introduced us. But at the same time, another friend of mine from Southern California recommended them as a label. So when we actually sat down to chat with them, they're all about it, and we're stoked on how they run their labels.
Kind of a small world. They actually talked to us about, what, like a year and a half ago about releasing it. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were talking to a couple other labels, mm-hmm. or with another label doing it, and it all ended up basically just pointing right back at them, which, like, this is exactly where we were supposed to be the first damn time. So yeah. This is precisely what should have happened. So
that's cool. I'm actually not really that familiar with the label, but now that you're telling me about it, I'm going to have to go back and kind of check out some of the other artists on it and some of their other releases.
Yeah, they do. They really care about the bands that they release. And then also same with the artwork and packaging that they do. It's always super elaborate.
And
they're more of a, yeah, it's all in-house, and they're kind of more of a post-rock style label. So we kind of stick out a little bit, but
sure.
As far as we go, we enjoy that aspect.
Where don't we stick out?
Yeah, we always stick out.
Oh, and they also have a sister label too, which is in Europe, which okay. is because then if you, not everybody kind of goes to both, but if it's one of those that they pick you up, it gives us an opportunity to go to do other stuff that we really haven't had a hell of a lot of opportunity to do. So.
All right, right on. Well, I'm glad you guys found a home for it and were able to release it. It's available now on streaming, but you can always pre-order the LP and the CD. There's some merch available. Now that I have you on the show, Irene, I love your voice, incredible voice, and I'm curious, when did you become... In your life, when did you find yourself confident enough to start singing like that? And have you always been a singer?
Well, first, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. That's a really great question, because when I started singing and when I started getting confidence in it, it's probably two different things.
Okay.
Even though singing and putting myself out there on stage early, I think it was in... Gosh, it's got to be like 15 years now that I've been singing in bands. And it's been within the last probably 8 that I feel like I've kind of come into my own. And what I mean by that is just kind of feeling confident
yeah.
in my own style and approach to put it out there.
Okay, right on. Well, so and now that I have all four of you in the same room, when did you all meet up and for the Dust Moth project? When were you guys friends? Because I know that, you know, you just mentioned, Irene, that you'd played in bands for a long time. And Ryan, you played in bands for a long time. I know you guys have probably all played, you know, shows together. Is that just an assumption or is that true?
Pretty damn good assertion.
Yeah. So had you guys been friends like through the music scene, or, you know, how'd you guys meet up? What's the origin story of Dust Moth, if you will?
Well, it's kind of weird. Jim and I have been sort of in close circles, but just kind of
circling each other.
Yeah. A couple people apart, since the early 90s, actually. Oh. But it's weird. I didn't meet Jim officially until Steve introduced us.
Okay.
Five years ago. So I didn't officially meet Jim until a few years ago. So, and then Irene, I saw 18 Individualize a bunch. I was, I used to go to quite a few of those shows, friends with, the drummer in that band.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I kind of officially met Irene. Then when Dust Moth started out, it was kind of just a small project. It wasn't really meant to do much. And we demoed 3 songs, and Irene expressed interest, and sang over one of them, and it was just like, holy shit, this is exactly what this band needs.
Yeah.
Because all of us that were in the band at the time have all done heavy bands, you know, with singers that either scream or yell or mm-hmm. whatever. So I had never played with anybody that can sing as well as she does.
Yeah.
In the classical sense yeah. of the word. I've been with great frontmen, but like right. never one that can properly actually sing.
Yeah.
And she's phenomenal at it. So it all worked out. And then Steve came along.
And Steve and I played in a band in 2006
yeah.
for
yeah.
several years. And that's how I was brought into the group.
Yeah. 4 years.
Which is around the time I met you two.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I first started playing out in Seattle, mm-hmm. my band would play with you guys once in a while.
Yeah.
About. We've kind of all just been part of the bigger Seattle scene for
yeah.
like 20 years. So I got here in 2003 from Austin.
And okay.
I had been here touring a bunch of different times, and then I met Jim shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And then we started playing in a band, and then I met Irene through us playing out together
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, 15 years ago, something like that. Jesus.
And his,
I was before I was 30.
His old band recorded with our old keyboard player and the guy that engineered our record, Matt Bayless.
Yes.
So that was my introduction to Steve. Cause once our old bass player left, Matt said, oh, I know the perfect person that could come play with us, and worked out perfect.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah.
I always like to hear that. And I always like to hear the formation stories, but I kind of knew you guys all, had like really good pedigrees in music and stuff. So I was just curious how it all worked out with you. I was kind of assuming kind of what you guys were saying. So I was showing your band to someone, and they said, sounds like Neurosis mixed with Portishead. And I was like, oh, that's
oh, yes.
That'll work. We'll take that.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that you hit it right on the head. For you personally, how would you even describe, like, when someone's like, what kind of band do you play in? Cause it's not really metal. It's not really like hardcore. It's not really post. It's just beautiful, driving music. I don't even know. Do you even feel comfortable classifying it, I guess, is a good question.
Not really.
There you go. Easy answer.
If you said, if someone goes, hey, what do you think it sounds like? I went, it kind of sounds like Neurosis and Portishead. And they go, I don't know who that is.
There you go.
And most people really honestly go, you guys kind of sound like Tool. And you're like, really? Isn't that the only heavy band you've ever heard? And
yeah.
I think that's usually the case. So it's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm not, again, not a fan of them, but just one of those where it's always based on what somebody's knowledge or intimate
sure.
knowledge of tiny, goofy genres. Because they can go, oh, no, you've got this element, but you don't know that at all.
Yeah.
You know, over the five, so.
Yeah, depending on who you ask, it's always going to be a different, oh, they sound like this.
Yeah.
And it's never anything that you think it's going to be. So.
And you get really, really weird ones where you're like, oh, really? Oh, that's horrible. But
yeah.
then you go, oh, that's what that guy thinks it's cool. You know, if someone's like, man, you guys kind of sound like Nickelback. You're like, I think that band's awful.
I think it's time to hang it up.
But you go, if they like them, and
yeah.
that's the only heavy band they've ever heard. And they go, well, they have a singer. Oh, whatever, man. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't really give a damn what anyone as far as categorizes, as long as they either listen and like it or don't. One of the two.
You guys sound like AC/DC. Yeah.
Boom.
Man,
nailed it.
Angus, man.
Nailed it.
It's just like Back in Black all over again. So how have you guys been staying busy? I mean, obviously this past year, no one's been going to shows, you know, how have you guys been staying busy outside of, I'm assuming you do band practices now that, you know, people are a little bit more comfortable with being together. I know that for a while there, people were just sketched out, even just being outside of their house, but, you know, how have you guys been staying busy, I guess?
Same as usual, to be honest with you. not much. I mean, I think we all go to work. We all do the same thing that we always did. And band practice, at least for us, I'll speak for myself, best release of the week.
Yeah.
Like, I can actually see people I like. I can see them intimately. I can work on something and not feel out of it. You know, not being able to talk to people on the street, staying 20 feet away from you all the time.
Yep.
Takes its toll on you as a human. So after a while, you kind of need that level of intimacy back with other people. It's not, you know,
yeah,
provide your kids or anything like that, where it's like just people you want to know that you're friends and you have this bond. That's kind of what that we've been writing material.
Nice.
Working on this. So, you know, that's,
and we've been preparing for the record, so
yeah,
artwork, and we've got a video. You know, we're asking ourselves, when was the last time we actually our equipment? It was like in October when we shot that video. So, you know, we've been doing little things like that. But this is our little bubble. You know,
yeah,
we've taken breaks during COVID when you know, the numbers get high. Mm-hmm. Right now, like, Washington numbers are pretty low and we're all yeah, pretty safe. So we do get together and, you know, we've been free of COVID. Awesome.
Yes.
And Irene was vaccinated.
Yay! So. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to get it in this phase. My wife and I are foster parents, so
great.
I just learned that character got moved up into this phase. Got on it. I got the Johnson & Johnson, so one and done.
So I got to ask, do you know which one you're going to get before you go it, or do they just kind of like last minute, they're like, all right, this is what you're getting?
That's pretty much it.
Yep, that's how it went. And my wife went on Monday and she got it, that she got Pfizer. Okay. She has to go back. I don't know what the difference is.
It's
a couple of days.
I think it's a law that can't tell you. I think that's so that you're not like 700 people, I only want this brand, and they show up at the same place thinking that that's the only thing they're giving out. I think it's like first come, first serve, whatever they're giving.
I feel like I saw some like meme or something that was just like two people. It said like what the bar scene will be like in the fall, and it was like a guy talking to a girl like, "So, which vaccine did you get? I got the Pfizer." It's like way to pick someone up, like make small talk. So, which vax did you get?
None of them. You want to go home?
Uh-oh. Yeesh. Stay away. All right, so before we go into one of the songs from the album, so obviously it's been a hell of a year. There's a lot of there was at least, and still is, a lot of, you know, negative news out there, hard stuff every day. If you're having an overwhelming day and you want to kind of refocus, get yourself back in a better mindset, we can go around the room. Let's start with you, Irene. What is an album that you can go to that will bring you back into a good headspace?
Wow.
Define good headspace.
Whether it be like a heavy one to get your aggression out, a beautiful one, just an album that, you know, you can go to that'll, you know, just bring you back. Maybe nostalgic or anything. Just an album that's always a surefire, one of your favorites.
I'm not sure I've been using an album like that during the quarantine. I did Bowie. Like, I just had that on for months.
David Bowie?
Yes. And yeah, that provided.
All right. Well.
For me, it kind of changes from month to month. But usually when I get into something, it's like, that's the only thing I listen to
deep
for
dive,
like 2 months.
Sure.
So lately, I've been a band called Big Brave.
Oh,
cool. They put out a record in 2019 and it is incredible. So I've not been able to stop listening to that.
To Big Brave. Cool.
Yeah. And it's always Nick Cave. Yeah. Always Nick Cave.
Nice.
So they're tired of me talking about it, so we'll move on.
It's perfect. New shiz, though. I got to throw in the Mogwai album. I think we've all been.
Yeah, I mean, Mogwai is great. But me personally, I listen to a lot of ambient music, just like really ill instrumental music, and that really just calms me down. So whether it be just piano or like a Harold Budd or Brian Eno album, like that's kind of where my my palm spaces.
Yeah.
I have a weird one that's not music.
Okay.
I challenge anyone to beat this. If you can smoke a joint and watch Bob Ross's Joy of Painting and be angry, you're just a fan.
All right.
So, it's like the greatest thing you want to do. You want to be in a good, you can't be angry watching that show. There's just no way in hell. You're just like, going, okay, I'm fine. I feel good. Are you painful? No, just watching it. Just watching it. Just being a spectator for just a minute to not care.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right, so Screw, Neurosis meets Portishead. I'd say Bob Ross, Brian Eno, some Big Brave, and David Bowie. Mix those together, and you get Dust Moth.
There it is.
That works, actually.
Wow. Or you can just, you know, listen for yourself and tell us what you think. We're going to go into two songs from the new album, and this is Everything Anew and How to Sleep. You guys want to say anything about these songs, or you want to just jump right into them?
Oh, man. Everything Anew was the first song that the four of us wrote together since Jim joined band.
Cool.
So initially, so that's the oldest song on the record is since Jim's been in the band.
All right.
And actually, How to Sleep used to be different as well.
Very.
There used to be totally different vocals on How to Sleep from when we originally wrote it.
Played it out much too.
And we played it out. We played on that show Band in Seattle.
Yeah. That's right across the street from me. I live right on 15th.
Yeah. So the old version is on that show.
Okay.
And we had never heard it. I didn't hear it because we recorded the music and then like Irene went to the studio and then what came out, we're like, I've never heard this. It's kind of surprising and amazing. Like it was awesome. So yeah.
I made Ryan get it too.
That's right.
Jim and I worked there out.
A nice surprise. So here's Everything Anew and How to Sleep, brand new music by Dust Moth from Rising Sailing. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. I'm in a heart. That was How to Sleep and Everything A New, brand new music by Dust Moth from their album Rising Sailing. It's available now on 1,000 Arms. If people dig that and they want to purchase the album, what's a way to do that? I know things are up for pre-order. Can you give me the URL?
Let's see. You can get it at, what is it, 1000arms.music? Is it 1000arms.music?
I think 1000arms.com.
Just 1000arms.com. You can order it from them. It's actually technically out, so it came out on Friday.
All right.
So you can get it now. You want the vinyl version, you should get it quick because the vinyl's going fast. The first press isn't. Well, so, and then the second press will be coming along, and you're going to miss out on the great colors that are available now.
I misspoke. I said pre-order, but no, it is out. The reason I said pre-order is because vinyl is so backed up right now that I'm just assuming anyone releasing things is just doing pre-order. But you guys must have known about that and put your order in months ago.
Yeah, we planned ahead. And actually, our label has their sister label in Europe has an in with a very small record plant in Belgium.
Cool.
So we got a press from them, so the turnaround time is a lot less. So we were able to get it all in before the record.
That's very cool. You can follow Dust Moth on all the social medias and support them. Obviously, we can't go to shows right now, but give them a like, give them a follow, and order an album. Like I said, they're available now and shipping now. So you mentioned that you're writing a little bit. Is you guys working on some new material then?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think we're hardly ever not working on some new material.
Okay.
I mean, unless we're playing a show, that's what we're doing, generally speaking.
Yeah.
It's just fun to do. I mean, just as a rule, it's fun to, you know, if we're going to go play a show, it's like we have something new to play. It's like, well, cool. We get excited about it and you go like, oh, that worked or that didn't, or holy crap, let's open with that next time because that was, you know, amazing. And it just, you know, it's a different way to get someone else's opinion on something too that they may not have heard or we haven't shown anyone. So it's always fun.
We also worked on a cover that none of us have really done covers much before.
Yeah.
All this. So we've been working on a cover and pretty pumped to bust that out at some point in time.
Will that be a surprise then?
That'll be a surprise.
Okay. All right. Be a surprise. But Bob Ross, is it a Bob Ross cover?
It's Bob Ross. You nailed it, man.
Nice. Or Nickelback? No. Right on. So I do want to ask this question. You guys have been involved in the Northwest scene through various bands and obviously now through Dust Moth, but you know, for decades now, you guys have been very involved in the underground Northwest scene. And I like to ask people what their favorite Northwest band of all time is, but I specifically want to ask you guys, what's a band that, a Northwest band throughout the years that may be underrated that you think people should go back, check out, maybe, you know, buy a CD used or check them out on online or search them on YouTube. What's an underrated band from the Northwest you think people should check out?
Sleepy Eyes of Death. It's one of my all time favorite local band.
Okay.
I mean, if you haven't heard them, they're unbelievable. I don't think they put out all that much material. Really cool and was like unbelievable live show.
Nice.
They had a bunch of like wild pulsating lights and faced each other and put the light kind of in the middle and then the lights just go off. It ran was fun, like super dark, and then the lights would off really weirdly. They were kind of heavy post electronica.
Okay.
It was really like a live band but then had electronic elements in it that were, you know, really, really cool.
Sleepy Eyes of Death.
I'd say Cobra High. They're a band that was around in like 2002, 2003.
Okay.
And my old band played with them a couple of times and they blew me away every time. A lot of keyboards, a lot of guitar, like a kind of a classic rock, like 70s vibe.
Okay.
Incredible. It was when they broke up, I was really bummed out. They were incredible.
Cobra High.
Yeah.
Cool.
Same thing. Not a lot of material that they put out there, but they do have a record.
Right on.
For me, I think I'm sitting with a couple of the members. I wouldn't say underrated, but I would say bands that I wish were still around, and that's Steve and Jim's band, Ron Swan, and Snakes. These Arms of Snakes.
Yeah.
That would be a real treat.
Hell yeah. Awesome.
There was a band in the early 90s called Bam Bam. It was an instrumental band. And at the time, I didn't think instrumental bands were like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw them, I totally understood. Like, they were completely proficient musicians. And, you know, I actually saw them in the Eastern Washington. We all hiked up this hill at this event called Greenstock. And it was like an oasis for like music. And we all slept there, and there were no rules, no laws. It was like a little mini Woodstock. And the band went on at like 3 a.m. And it was the most like psychedelic, heavy, raw like thing I'd ever seen. And so
Bam,
I'd seen
Bam?
Them also. Bam Bam.
Cool.
I don't know if you can find their music, but they are Northwest.
Wow. Okay. You gave me some stuff to dig. I know These Arms Are Snakes, but the other ones, I got to dig these. So I actually partially did that as a kind of a selfish thing. I know you guys have good tastes based on, you know, the music that you make. So, I appreciate that. Now I have to do some digging and find those albums. So, Dust Moth, thank you so much for coming and taking the time tonight. I know you guys, you know, you took time away from you know, jamming and writing new stuff and whatnot. So I appreciate you coming on. Any final words for the Northwest audience?
Come out to shows.
Yes.
Yeah. Next year, everybody, and don't bitch and complain. Come out. Just come out. Don't be a jackass. Old or not, come out. Don't be 18 and don't go to shows. Go out and do something. Fun.
Absolutely. So we're going to go into I'm Not Anyone. Anyone you want, anything you want to say about this one?
The last song on the album, and it's meant to burn down the house. So
if you see it live, it's cathartic. The end is, it's fairly entrancing, and it's a good ender to the show, kind of. It's quite fun.
Well, that's perfect. It's the end of this. So thanks again. Yeah. Again, and buy the album. It's called Rising Sailing, available now by Seattle band Dust Moth, one of my favorite Northwest bands of all time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having us, man. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I promise next time we'll do this in studio, in person, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Right on. Have a good one, guys.
Take care, brother.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.